there, I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. I'm back. This is Kathy with Organize and Energize, Don't You Know? Today, I'm speaking with Jessica Koch, and we're going to talk about how to get more done and how to get things done using other professionals to help us do what we can't do. Jessica is an international speaker and so much more. She's a whiz at marketing and sales strategies, systems, and she's a master at processes. She feels it's even better when you can integrate success with supporting a local cause. She's a cause-driven agency, which is why I love her. She truly has a joy and passion for cause marketing, people, and life. One of my favorite quotes from Jessica is, "People matter most. And the best professionals hire professionals." Sounds like something I've said, right? So let's jump into it and let's meet Jessica. Hi, everyone. As promised, I'm back and I'm with Jessica Koch. And today we're going to talk about how to get things done and how to have fun in our business. So welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I love the concept of organization. I haven't mastered it in all aspects of my life, but I have really, in the last 5 years or more, grasped systems and automation and really become a master of it. I just dove in such an exciting way. So there are places in my life where I'm very organized and other places like my closet so much.
Well, you know, organizing is an ongoing process, and I really applaud you for taking the time to set up the systems, because mm-hmm. now you're saving so much time every single day and every single week and mm-hmm. every single month. The average entrepreneur wastes a month, a year just trying to catch up with stuff because they haven't stopped to put systems in place like you have. So congratulations mm-hmm. on that. And, you know, we all have areas of our life that need organizing. It's just mm-hmm. one thing. So, yeah, but I applaud you on that. We can talk about your closet a little bit later offline.
I think about that. I made that statement. And then I think I could tell you, I have a section where it's short sleeve and sleeveless hang together. I have a section for pants and shorts. And I have a section where the skirts hang only. I have a section for just dresses. And I usually... when I've updated it and like tweaked it a little, they're in order by color. So I guess, but it tends to get messy quickly. I guess the organization falls apart and then I have to readdress it. The system exists in there. It's just, it's not as automated as some of the business systems, which I really like, because they rarely mess up unless the technology stops talking to each other or whatever. And you have to tweak that, but so I guess it's kind of the same.
Yeah. If you could say, okay, dresses come forth that I've never worn for a year, that'd be.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I can easily do that with software, because I can see what programs haven't been, what free gifts aren't getting any hits. I can do the analytics super simple and all in a report and all by a press of a button. That does not happen in my closet. That is true.
All right. Well, do you want one hack? I can't one hack. Okay, here's your hack. I mean, we're here to talk about you, but here's the thing. So what you do is you go into your closet and you turn the hanger
around. Yes, I've heard this. That would drive my brain crazy. I'm not sure I can handle that hike. My OCD will not allow that.
Okay, so you do it the reverse though. Every time you wear something, you put it backwards back.
Yeah. The whole backwards thing gets me. I'll have to try it. I'll have to see if I can make it. My husband will hear me in the closet at 2 a.m. What are you doing? I had to turn all the hangers back. They're backwards and driving me crazy.
I absolutely love that. Well, you know, there's no one way to do anything. Yes. So, you know, the fact that you have your systems together, this is great. So let's get back to you, Jessica. That's why we're here. So
Except for I just thought of a system I could use that's the similar. So for anyone out there who also would go nuts if their hangers were backwards, but really wants to use this hack, I could color code or tie ribbons on certain hangers of the clothes I wear all the time. And then I know that I would only use those hangers. And then I would see the ones that were the other color and never got put on the new hanger. Because then if I color coded, I might be able to do color coding. That might work.
Yes, I've had clients do that as well. That actually does work. And you can put, they have little rings too that you can bind over the hanger. So, you know, you have to worry about tying bows. So one of my clients uses the ring idea, and that way she can see everything that she's worn and things that she hasn't worn for a long time. You could also move them from one end of the one end of the rod to the other end of the rod, you know, but like your short, your sleeveless, you could just have all, instead of color coded, you could have to buy frequency of use and keep putting the ones that you try on that you don't wear off to the right. So yeah, there's so many different ways to do it. That's why I love getting organized.
I tell you, there is, it is. And I've hired people to come and help me. I'm a big believer in hiring people to come help you because, you know, who wants to do it alone?
Yeah, right. It's not fun to do it alone. It's much more fun to do it with an organizer that is fun, you know, has fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that goes into the masters hiring masters, which is what in the one quotes that I used for you today. That's my quote, but your quote was,
I think it's professional hire professionals. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The most professional people in the world do hire professionals. I mean, that's what we all do. We all have coaches. That's how we become masterful. So let's talk a little bit about your journey, Jessica, so that people get to know a little bit about you. Where did you come from and what are you doing right now?
Well, let's see. I was a military brat. And so I lived all over growing up. And I'm now in Solomons Island, Maryland, about an hour outside of Washington, D.C., and I have a consulting firm. So we do sales and marketing consulting, social media training, and we started a virtual assistant membership program about 5 years ago. So we have VAs from all over the world to help our clients get things done for them and create those systems and automations and now AI, and we build custom GPTs and online courses and bots, and there's all this cool stuff now, funnels and free gifts and speaker one sheets, and we do all of it for them so that they can enjoy the benefits of technology without the nerve-wracking stress of what some people experience with technology, because it's not my experience. I love it. And I've been run a podcast for the last 8 years. So
I've been blessed to play with you in that court. So you love systems, you love tech. So for the people who don't really like it, but they need stuff, I mean, I have so many clients that, of course, everybody in systems. Tell me a story about one of your clients and how she or he came to you, and then what happened through the process.
So I think really the best story is, you know, kind of a little bit me. So when I first started my business, I actually didn't have the VA, the business. I was only about 3 months into working, and I made a decision that I needed a virtual assistant, because as a sales and marketing expert, I know all of the follow-up tasks that are required to actually yield cash and revenue from your efforts. I know what they are. I know what the steps are. I know I have a system for that. However, I found myself in this place in my life where I was starting a new business, and my business story is I was kind of a Jonah and the whale. I didn't want to start a business. I didn't want to have my own business. And so I have kind of a unique, I went kicking and screaming, let's just say. And so I made some decisions that I was going to live my life the way I wanted to live it. I had at the time a younger daughter. She's 13 now, but this has been 9 years. And I live by the water. So I wanted to spend my Wednesday nights not following up from virtual networking things and building a spreadsheet for the chat so I can import it into my CRM system so I could send them all a nice email and connect with them on the different social media platforms and all the things I needed to do to have a one-on-one with them so I could build a real relationship with them so that we could collaborate, work together. I could be their client, they could be my client, or we could help each other get other clients, do the things that the whole reason you show up to a virtual networking thing, right? I didn't want to do any of those things. And I also didn't want to be a burden to my family because I was starting a business. I wanted the business to stay self-sustaining. So I had like a few clients right out the gate, and it was only a few months in, and I decided to hire three people. I hired three virtual assistants, and that was one of the smartest things I ever did, is I hired in a group of three. And I also took control of how is this going to affect my bottom line. And I was also very transparent and honest and respectful to the VAs. So some of which these people are still with me today, 9 years later. That is really rare in the world of virtual assistant work, just going to say. But because it was, I respected them and said, look, here's the project I have. Here's how much I can pay per hour. Here's how many hours I have allotted for the project. Once that project is done, I may have more projects, but it may be a week or two, it may be a month before I have a project again. I told all three of these that. So I paid them by project. So I had a budget for that project. Then we reconvened to see where they were, what they got done, gave me an idea of how much this would really cost me and what I needed done. And I had three people who, when one was sick or had needed a vacation, or, you know, in some cases in the world of EAs, I knew you just never heard from them again and it didn't exist. I wasn't having to start from square one, find the people, interview the people, train the people, and have people who know what I needed. I always had at least several people running all the time. This allowed me, I remember sitting in my living room on a Wednesday afternoon after I had had a full day of virtual networking, and I was sitting there playing Yahtzee with my family, and I was present. We had had dinner. We were about to go on a nice walk by the water. And I was sitting there, occurred to me, as it wasn't my turn at the second, hey, all those people I talk to right now are getting added to my system. They're getting connected with a lovely message. They're getting sent my calendar link. And then I came in, and over the course of the next few days, my calendar was full of great one-on-ones with wonderful people that soon either became my client, or I collaborated with them, or we referred each other to customers, you know, and I got to have the time I wanted that valued you so much, and still got a chance to grow my business in this way, and still didn't have to put myself into debt to do it. And for me, that is the success story that led to me adding that division to our company.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I also have three VAs. I've had a VA for the past 18 years and mm-hmm. another for 8, and my newest one for 3, I think. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's good to just be forthright, say mm-hmm. what you need, and then have them discourse about it. You know, is this working? Is this not working? What's mm-hmm. happening with it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's really smart. And a lot of entrepreneurs, especially a lot of people that I speak with, don't want to release that control. Mm. And what they don't realize is that when you release that control, you have control of your life. Just like you said, I mean, it's so important that you want to, the reason we start businesses is to have freedom. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to go back a minute, because you said you went into business kicking and screaming. So why did you start? What happened?
So my career, I started very young. I got into sales and marketing when I was in high school. I was the youngest person ever hired by a conference resort center that was on the water near where I lived. And I was the youngest person hired to work actually the front desk out in front with the people. And I learned about the corporate events and the weddings that came and the sales process. And I began to learn about sales very young. And then in my early 20s, I worked for radio advertising. A radio station.
That's a hard job.
Then I learned about sales from that. And then I managed a large sales division for a marketing firm in Alexandria, Virginia, later in my career, where I interviewed, hired, trained, managed entire sales teams, and managed projects for Disney, Verizon, you know, some of the bigger names, bigger power and gas companies in the region and things like that. And the DC Metro, the Delmarva, they call it, or the Maryland, DC, Virginia kind of region. And then from there, I went and spent about another 15 to 17 years with another company, where then I presented, and that's where I started my speaking career. So for over 25 years, where I spoke at national conferences for the Fortune 1000, for power companies across the world, for hospitals, universities, county government entities, public school systems, like all kinds of different national associations and organizations all over the world. And I was speaking, I was teaching workshops at their conference. I was actually key speaking. I was doing all kinds of things. And I was far too young and far too new still on learning sales, truly, even at that point in my career, that I didn't know I was supposed to be afraid of speaking on stage. Nobody told me. So I just went and did what I knew I was supposed to do.
Yeah, but what caused you to start your own agency?
That's what happened. So then all those things broke down. So that was kind of how I learned about what I do now. And, you know, over time, it was time to, I was promised certain things working with the company for a very long time. And although I value the humans that work there and all my contacts and everything I learned and all that was great, it wasn't where I believed it was going to lead me. And it was just time writing on the wall to peacefully and respectfully part ways. And then I tried to work with three other organizations that very quickly did not keep their promises within their contracts. And so I came to this place where, and at that point I was the key revenue for our family. And we had had our last child, who's now 13. We have seven children and eight grandchildren. Woo. And my husband had become the full time caregiver for our newborn. And the company had been paying him to travel with me and, you know, follow me around speaking and all these wonderful things. I just turned to my husband at one point and said, after the third company of really being asked to do something unethical as a sales manager that I wasn't comfortable doing. Well, you know, I'm not just not comfortable not doing anything that's beyond my values. Yeah. And I said to him, well, I'm going to, he owns his own contract license. He's a general contractor. So he's owned his own company too. I said to him, look, you know, you're going to have to go back to work because my heart was broken. I thought I'm never going to work again. I'm never going to sell anything again. And I'll market you, honey. You go back out and I will, you know, homeschool and care for our kid and take over, because that's what we were doing. And so we swapped places within a few days, literally probably less than a week. I had full business contacts for him, and he began a waiting list for 6 months for clients and customers, because I'm just really good at marketing. No supermodel, and I can't sing real well, but boy, can I do that. And so I had him situated, and for three solid years, I hid. I didn't cross the threshold of our home office. I didn't go online. I didn't answer email. I wasn't on any of the platforms. I didn't have anything but my cell phone, and I took care of my child and homeschooled. Well, I got a phone call from the local county chamber of commerce, because he knew I was a speaker at all the major conferences. Every major employer had been my customer. I was, you know, pretty well known in my region for business success. And he said, where are you? I said, I am not in the business space anymore and don't plan on returning. He said, well, we need you to come and teach a class on this social media platform. And because he knew I had leveraged it to have my success with CFOs like of Staples and New Balance and Big Lots and some of the larger organizations I had gone and made presentations to. And that was one of the ways I had done that. And I politely said no. And seven times he called me back. And, you know, by the seventh, my quote of people matter most was like, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to come. I'm going to teach. I'm going to leave. I love chambers, but I'm not a member of the chamber right now. I'm not joining. I don't have a business. I don't want a business. I'm not working for anyone. I don't want to work for anyone. I'm going to come. I'm going to teach. I'm going to leave. And I had never done, all the presentations I had done were information. They were educational and teaching, but they weren't just for education point only, right? I was going there just to teach. There was no product.
Like a workshop, right?
They were going to sell. Yeah, it was a workshop. So they booked it at a mega church in our region, which had a very similar setting to a college, place where they do the they're not speeches, lectures, kind of a lecture hall. And I showed up in my cute suit and my cute little heels and my pearls and my laptop and set everything up to the technology. And they were all in like stadium seating and it was standing room only. This place was packed to the gills. And the guy out in his comic relief put out, "She's coming out of the woodwork. We don't know how long or for anything, but just this. So if you want to see her, now's your only chance."
That's funny.
And we filled the place, and that was, you know, hugely humbling and very nice feeling. And then I started to teach, and then the room went to the death of silence, and all you could hear was literally frantic scratching on the paper. And that energy kind of sucked into me. And I turned around and it dawned on me, you know, as mid-sentence, I'm trying to teach them something that, and I'm like, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, everybody knows this.
Yeah.
Well, everybody didn't know this. Everybody does not know what you know. I didn't know that.
Right.
And the energy and the excitement and the questions and the engagement and the hour long after the event was over, still standing in my heels with a line of people who said, "Please help us." And then for 6 months, because I was that stubborn, helping people for free, and then getting the call back again a second time saying, "Okay, since your event, we have had more calls and more inquiries, and we're having the Women's Business Conference, and it's going to be at the college, and everyone would like you to keynote and speak." And so at that point, my husband says, "Get a business card. We're building you a website. Suck it up, Buttercup. You got a business, whether you like it or not."
Did he kind of semi-retire and go back to caregiving, and then you're on your way?
No, we kind of tag teamed it. He did some days with her. I continued to homeschool and do the homeschool co-op and participate in that and just schedule my business around it. And then eventually my business grew with such success so quickly that by her third grade year, we put her at a local Montessori school. And the Montessori school with live chickens, live garden, outdoor teaching, very small, intimate, in-ground pool. Like it's as close to homeschooling and intimate and wonderful as you can get without homeschooling. So,
well, you know, that's a really good story. And I think that a point to be noted here for everyone listening is that you are an expert in something. Everybody is an expert in something. And an expert just means that you know a little bit more than the people that you're speaking to. Right. So we all have expertise in our life, but a lot of people don't claim it. So, you know, you spend a long time not claiming it and then you step into glory. And it's true, you know, whenever you're doing a workshop and people are just like little sponges, you get such a rush of it's just a happy space to teach people to learn. Yeah, I love that.
It was. The energy was very joyful for me. And you know, I'm an Italian and I'm a happy, joyful, energetic person. So, and, you know, at least I think I'm funny. So, you know, also having some humor helps. So even if they're laughing at, you know, at me or with me, there's always some laughter. And I just found that I really enjoyed teaching and I didn't know that about me. So that was a discovery that also occurred.
Yeah, it's something interesting. You know, people have put me in like consultant. And just of the past year, I've said, I'm not really a consultant. I'm a teacher. I mean, that's why I'm through and through and through is a teacher. That's what I love best, you know? And actually, according to my code of ethics, I have to transfer skills or I've kind of breached my code for my board certification. So, you know, teaching is all about that. And transferring skills is what makes people thrive. So if you had to, what would you tell someone who is kind of struggling right now and they're just not living their dream? They've started their business, but they're just, you know, they're like that. What would be a piece of advice that you would give them? What would be a first step for them to start making progress and start making more money?
I mean, if they're not living their dream, if they're not doing the business that's their passion, I mean, I'd say stop, take a step back and reevaluate and figure out if there is a way to make revenue with your passion. And I believe 100% of the time that's a yes. Like with whatever passion someone has, There is a way to make money with that. You may not be able to start it out right away and make the transition. And I would always say, I always say I'm the Italian mother of seven, but I'm not your mama. I'm not giving you financial, legal, medical advice. I am simply telling you what's worked for me. So I did not tell you to quit your job and just go jump into your passion. And if that's going to jeopardize your family or your life, but I would say, really take a hard look at how could you make your passion your side hustle until you could build a plan where it can take over whatever you're doing. Because life is too short to do something you don't love, is what I think.
Yeah. And that's what I find that most people are, they start their business because they have this passion to show people what they know and what they're passionate about. But the marketing wheel it falls off oftentimes. So they don't they don't have that engine to drive the marketing down the road. So that's what I'm asking is like, what would be the first for those listening that maybe they don't have the marketing mechanism. Where's the first place to start to build that, to begin marketing their business? What do you think is the easy entryway for them?
Well, there's a couple of things. If you're not a marketing expert and that's not your comfort zone and that's where you don't feel good, there are lots of people to help you. And whether you have a budget for that help or not, there's still people to help you. So your local economic development office, SBA, SBDCs, women business centers, all kinds. SCORE is a mentor-based program for startups. There's even Startup Grind. There's all kinds of organizations that are totally free for you to use. And one of the things they can help you design is a marketing plan. You can use ChatGPT for a marketing plan and strategy. You can get yourself a checklist and a plan, and then choose three things that you can implement at least every single month. But working with a professional is great if you have the luxury of doing so. A lot of the small businesses are even going to fractional CMOs. I just interviewed one on my podcast that does that professionally, and that's all they do. Is there almost as a consultant basis, they work specifically for only a handful of companies, and they're not a full-time employee. They're not paid like an employee, so it saves the company lots of money. But they have this dedicated person all year, every year, that is helping grow the company to the point where then one day they maybe do hire an on-site, on-time, full employee. So these are different strategies that you might strive for. You know, start with the local free options that will support you. Work with a consultant, you know, like me for a temporary space, or then get yourself to a fractional CMO and then get yourself to, you know, so move in stages if this is your desire. And think about what your ultimate marketing outcome is. I mean, everyone thinks it's just to have sales and grow business, but it really isn't. What do you want to do with your business? Are you looking to sell it one day? Are you looking to have it run without you one day? Like, all of your marketing strategy needs to be what your end game is. And that's probably one of the things I wish I had known sooner, is I should be building out for my legacy much sooner than I began thinking of it prior. So.
Yeah, most of us don't think of legacy when we start a business. We're just like inspired and on fire, and we're going to do what we love to do because we want to get paid to do it. And yeah, we don't think about the long term. So, well, that leads me to the next question then. What would you tell your 18-year-old self now? What advice would you give her? And now that you've, you know, been around the block a few times.
I would tell her not to be so afraid to start my own business sooner, because part of why I didn't want to start a business is because I thought, well, I know what I know. I know about marketing and selling for other people. I don't know anything about running a business. What I didn't realize was I didn't need to know that it's the who, not how, right? I didn't have to know all the hows, like that great book everyone's talking about. I just needed to know some of the who's that could teach me and help me and consult me and pay them to support me in the spaces of my business that I wasn't good at. So I would tell myself that. I would tell myself that every time I improve myself, I believe that we're all energy and that we're all connected. And every time I take the time to gift myself vacation time, listen to a new audiobook, take a workshop, a training, every single time I improve myself, I improve and make a difference in the world, because I can then be a better community member, a better collaborator with my joint venture partners, a better wife, a mother, and just a better everything, and make a bigger difference in the world every time I improve myself. I would tell people that I would tell myself that I'm a great teacher and that I'm funny. And I would tell myself to track my success better, because now to go back to the timeline of my amazing history and all the things I've achieved, I really have to dig and go look at, I mean, I'm a bit of a pack rat, so I have filing cabinets and date planners from 100 years ago, but I'm still going to have to do my research because I didn't run a cool timeline about the coolness of me. Help me build that legacy, right? And I'd tell myself to celebrate more often. And I would tell myself to kayak, because I didn't kayak until way too late in my life, and kayaking is the joy of my life. I even do business from kayaks. I even attend virtual meetings from my kayak. I love kayaking.
You live on an island, right?
I do. I live in Solomon's Island, Maryland. Yes.
Yeah. Kayaking is brilliant. It's so funny because you could do business anywhere. So, you know, you're out there kayaking around, you're having a business meeting. My husband does that with disc golf, you know, so he has masterminds all the time, you know, playing disc, and that's pretty funny. So that's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. We can do anything we want, wherever we want. We can lead business anywhere that is feel comfortable for us. We're not confined into the four walls. So, okay. You know, my next question is how, you know, this is my year of celebration. I really just want to celebrate all of my victories. How do you celebrate your victories?
Oh, I definitely think kayaking and, you know, taking more time at the beach for myself. But, you know, I don't know. I just do that anyway. We've done so much vacation. I was looking at the amount of time that's passed in the year and the amount of time that we've worked versus the amount of time we've been on vacation. And I think, I'm not sure, but a vacation might be winning.
Yay. I love that.
And you know what though? I think more that in my wisdom, I celebrate out loud with other people. And actually that's one of my favorite joy stories. And one of the things I want to be remembered by in my legacy when I'm no longer here is I was walking one day on the boardwalk with my husband, and I'm an animated person and I'm Italian. We talk with our hands. And we're walking on the boardwalk and we're walking the island. And when you do that, you pass people and, you know, you make this lap more than once. So you might pass them again. And I guess we had passed this couple earlier and I'm talking with my hands and we're getting ready to pass them again. And I'm saying at this time to my husband, we don't know these people, right? These are people I don't know. And I'm saying to him, you know, I love what I do. I love the podcast. And, you know, people like me. They have fun when, you know, I get comments and I feel like so joyful. And I feel like people feel that, like I'm really able to put that energy out there in the world. And I was just sharing with my husband, feeling joyful publicly. And this woman stopped with her husband and said, yes, I do feel your joy. I felt it the first time we walked by. And she hugs me. This perfect stranger hugs me. And she hugs my husband, who is not, you know, he's like, okay, I'm being hugged now. And and the husband's like, yes, yes, I know. And they both just shake hands. But we hug each other again. And we chat for a while. And, you know, this woman didn't know who I am or what I did, that she's not liking or following me on a place or, you know, any of the things. I'm thinking, you know, that's what I want to make sure I'm remembered for by putting in the world, that perfect strangers truly were compelled to reach out and hug her. That to me is one really great legacy to leave in the world.
It's so true. And back to your speaking about energy earlier, you know, I think that the more energy that we have, the more the world will resonate with better and better and better energy. You know, we're all energetic beings. So the more that we can amplify happiness, joy, freedom, prosperity, the more we can amplify that, the more others will have it. So from a metaphysical standpoint, I'm with you, girl. I'm with you, sister. So I know that you have something that you're going to offer the guests or the listeners here. What is it that you are going to drop for them?
I have an amazing video training of a free tool that, and I have helped people not just in the United States, but in other countries access this tool in their library system. So you can say, oh, but my library system doesn't have it. Well, someone near you or in your state does, or even a state over. And if you had to pay $30 to get access to it, for that's what it cost me to join a library in a state that I'm not in. I use this free database tool for research that the library systems have a lot to offer you. And so I actually do a video training on how to use this specific system. So if your library doesn't have the one that is shown in the training video, you can ask your local library if anywhere in the state of Maryland, do any of the libraries invest in database research systems for the use of a business owner? And what other business tools and resources do they offer that the library system is paying with your money, by the way, our tax dollars,
right.
So that as a business owner, you can use. So I show you in this training what the platform is, how to use it, how to research it, and it gives great in-depth information on these different companies. You know, how many years they've been in business, are they public or private, what their government coding is, so their SIC and NAICS, if you know what that is, whether they have job postings out there. That's, especially if you're a coach or a consultant or leadership coach, that is a great clue. They're telling you, hello, we're in need of something here. So if in the meantime, where they're not hiring that position, you may be able to offer some services that provide workshops or consulting to fill their need while they're trying to fill that space, that's an opportunity for you. They're giving you clues. And there's so much more press releases and just so much information, email and contact people and all kinds of stuff in these databases that if you know what exactly what customer, I know exactly where I'm going soon. We're making a trip to Hawaii, the Virgin Islands. We're going to Ireland and New York again with specific things we want to do in mind, and Pennsylvania. Like, these are the places I am going. And if you know, if you could list off the 10 companies, like I just listed, you know, the handful of places that I'm going and the research I'm going to need to do for each one of those so that I can actually get there, that's the same thing you have to do for the customers you want to work with. You know, I was honored and had the privilege of doing a leadership training. I'm certified in 6 intelligences. I've also done lots of workshops and training for of all levels. And I had Microsoft, 40 of Microsoft's executive leaders, I had the honor of teaching this workshop for. So if you think, wait, I want to work with, I have a pair of New Balance shoes I got right off the line from going to corporate New Balance headquarters, right? So if you have a company, you're like, I want to provide whatever my great service is for that company, whether it's big, small, or whatever, you need to spend the time and learn about them and know who they are, know what cause they care about, what's going on in their industry, what are their press releases. And this free training will gift you the ability to make that list based on your criteria and then begin to do the research for those targeted future clients of yours. And, you know, I have my targeted future destinations. If you want clients, you need to give them, if you want someone to put money in your bank account, you need to invest in your research bank account with them, right? You need to do your homework.
I think that's fantastic. I've never heard of a tool like that. I mean, we all use ChatGPT and all that stuff, but I think I love the library. I grew up with my father. That was our favorite thing, was on Sundays we would go to the library. He was a minister. He would be writing his sermon afterwards, and I'd be just running around the library, having fun, looking at all the books that I could possibly find. And that's one of my best memories. So I'm really, you know, that makes my heart sing to say I can tap into all the libraries with this app. I'm going to jump into it. And, you know, it's a system that people just don't really use anymore. Like, you don't see that many people. I speak at libraries.
Me too. Me too.
It's fun to
and see. You can use this right from your home office or your business office or wherever. You don't need to go into the library to have access to it. Everything, all of these are like virtual tools that the library is paying for you, but people just don't realize to even look.
Right. And we are, and like you say, we're paying for it already. So that's a really generous gift. I love that. We're going to drop the link below and make sure to grab it, you guys. You will get some leads. And I love the fact too that you're like, okay, I'm going to go to the Virgin Islands. What clients there that could, you know, now it's a complete business write-off. I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to write off that expense too, because I'm going to get paid while I'm there. I love to do that myself. I think it's smart and savvy and it's fun. Because you end up being in these other places and you end up staying a little bit longer than what you thought you were going to stay. So what's not to like about that? Yeah. Is there anything that I should have asked you, Jessica, that we haven't discussed at this point?
Well, we talked a little bit about legacy, but really I always want people to ask, Jessica, what kind of legacy do you plan on leaving behind? And I am developing a very strong plan. And I want that legacy of strangers who walk up and hug me, like we talked about. I want to leave resources, both money and knowledge, and a tribe for my family and my community. So I want them to be left with a nurturing community and education, and what are books they should read in their lifetime, and what are things that they should learn in their lifetime. And in addition to money and resources, I want to leave my family and the community land and buildings that will last for hundreds of years. We want to develop a nonprofit that's called the Jabez Project, which we've already kind of started work towards, because I do believe in cause marketing. I've already written one, and I was writing several others to be published and produced. Songs. I want to leave songs behind because songs last for long after you're gone. I paint, and I want to leave art and trainings and many, many books. And I want them to be enjoyed for, I hope, hundreds of years, many of these things. So, and I want to leave a plan that is duplicatable to then be left to, and then left to, and left to, so that all this continues in our family.
I love it. I love it. Well, you're a busy woman who takes a lot of time off and gets a lot of stuff done, and you're my kind of girl. I love that. I think that's great. You know, in cause marketing, we touched on that just a little bit. I think that, you know, that's a really, you know, you're giving to give, and then you end up getting.
It's a reciprocity law. It's a side effect that's guaranteed. It's not, you shouldn't give for the purpose of receiving, but no, you will anyway. And it's simple to do. So one example is running the podcast for 8 years. Every single guest that comes, we ask to share a cause that's close to their heart. We take a moment of time where we're spending anyway and promoting and edifying one another and getting things out to our community. We're pushing to give awareness and inspire someone to give time, treasure, and talent to the cause that our guests care about, or to the causes they care about, our guests who are watching. And we encourage them to put their causes in the comments and the chat, so that when we do push it out and share it, it can get to more people. And you know, the best and most exciting thing that could happen from that is we might inspire someone to just choose to do something good that day.
Right. Exactly. Just something, something, a little something adds up all the time. Yeah. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Everybody, make sure to download this resource. Jump into it. See what you can find. See what kind of leads you can ever cover. And if you find some gigs, let us know, because we will broadcast it for you and celebrate with you as you do things using this tool, because it's a cool tool. Cool tool. Okay, Jessica, thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll be touching base and connecting in the future many, many times.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.